you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, Doug.
It's been 2 weeks since we last spoke, but it sounds like your voice is still needing some more recovery.
Yeah, it's not quite 100%, but definitely better than last time.
Yeah, it's definitely an improvement. And, you know, you'll have a whole nother week. I'm sure you do, either resting your voice or vocal exercises. I'm not sure which one.
Singing. A lot of singing.
A lot of singing. Well, that probably is why it's prolonging it, because you're singing too much. Our guest today was a super fan of one of my other podcasts, Doug Loves Movies. DLM, we call it sometimes. And I found out that he was a big fan of it. I met him at Just for Laughs in Montreal and eventually asked him to be a guest on it because, you know, this is fun when it turns out to be somebody, you know, that's a fan already. Also turns out to be, you know, such a funny comic on their own. He's a Montreal comedy phenom. I assume that's where he'll be when we speak to him. His album's called Cherubic because he is. He's adorable. he's Mike Carrozza. Have you ever Mike Carrozza'd?
I have not. I tried to let out a woo-hoo and it just didn't happen. My voice wasn't there. Like,
I just thought you were more like, I don't know that guy. You're going to love him, though, and he's already a fan of your work, especially your current vocal styling. So let's go to work. Hello, Mike Carrozza.
Hi. Thanks for having me, man.
Say hello to other Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Hey. Hey, single Mike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm outnumbered on this one.
Yeah. We've got a double Doug bus going here. And one of us is a little scratchier than the other, currently still recovering from a festival that was a month ago.
It's ridiculous when you say it that way, but it's true.
Yeah. But speaking of festivals, I met Mike Carrozza. I met you at the Just for Laughs in Montreal, correct?
That's right. We met there very first time. I think at the time I was still interning, so I hadn't done the festival yet. But I couldn't believe I was standing next to you. Like, that was,
yeah, you were very, very friendly, very friendly, very, nice and, you know, memorable for whatever reason. So then, you know, when it sort of, it seeped into my brain, you know, within a few years, I guess that, you know, you had an album out and, it, you know, we were some of the same people I follow were following you. And, and I realized, you know, like this guy is great. And hopefully we'll do more in the future, but you, you've been on, Doug Loves Movies and, And, like I said, I hope to do more with you and including this.
That means a lot.
Well, that's great. I mean, it works out perfectly for everybody. you were talking before we were recording about how you actually know Doug Mellard's album Fart Safari, and we're even talking about one of the bits that you remember. So you're like one of those guys, like I think I was, which is like just a huge comedy fan, and then just got into it and did it, you know?
Oh, 1,000%. Like I've been known as like the comedy encyclopedia for a long time around like my, like I take a lot of time out of my, I like to sit down, I listen to an album. I love listening to comedy. I love seeing it as much as I can. You know, I used to take the long way driving home from work because the talk radio station in Montreal hosted by Joey Elias would play stand-up clips before I had like a way to plug in an iPod into my car. So I would go the long way to like listen to the bits. And so Deb DiGiovanni would be on and I'd be like, I need to finish this bit. So let me go a little bit around the block a little longer.
Well, it's a good thing she talks fast.
I know. She's the speedy one, but definitely like a huge comedy fan. Like I remember I watched you on Last Comic Standing and being like, this dude's the best. And being like, I gotta keep up with him. And then I remember listening to Professional Humor Eating the first time and being like, he must have cut the segue bit out or something. And then
yeah, because I
on the next album,
I was so into that bit that I was like, when I made my first album, that I thought, you know, why not hold that one bit? I maybe even held a couple of bits that were pretty strong and ready to go for the first album, but I held them for the second one just, you know, because I knew it was already going to be an uphill climb coming up with a second album, you know, because that first one is everything you've done until that point come together, finally recorded. But then everyone after that is like a little bit more of a, you know, you got to start from scratch and put it together. Yeah.
But I remember seeing that on TV and being like, this dude's fucking punk as shit. He's just like winking at the judges on all of these bits the whole way. That was dope. I remember thinking that ruled, and I still get, you know, you ever get like a random earworm stuck in your head? Like, just like the way somebody says something every now and then. And then I'll get like, that's good to know, doggy, from being stuck in my head all the time. So definitely a comedy fan for a long time. I think I'm one of the few that it's really paid off for, though, because like I think people can tell I'm genuine about it rather than I don't know. Some people who are way into it can be really sycophantic in their way of doing it. But I think I just like, I don't know, man, I just really appreciate what everybody's doing. And I love comedy.
Yeah, dude. Well, that's it's the thing. So you fanned out on me, but it wasn't in a way that, you know, pushed me away. It was in a way that, you know, I remembered you, and you know, I'm glad that we reconnected.
What if he turned his video on right now and he was just wearing like your face on top of his face?
Yeah. I got a hoodie on and I don't stop saying it's Ghost Protocol. You know, I got
oh my God. Yeah.
Running bits from like 2017, 16.
Jeez. I mean, I'm glad I'm sorry. This stuff sounds familiar, you know, like I'm glad that I haven't forgotten it all entirely,
right.
But the fact that I made as many albums as I did is just mortifying to me at this point because, you know, it's just a lot of, a lot of jokes,
a lot of albums.
Well, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, I just one day just woke up and sort of stopped. I mean, I had this idea that I would do a series of albums that were just like random shows from the road, like how bands have, you know, if you follow a band, you could just sort of get, I want to hear their show that they did in Toledo that one time. You know, what do they call those? Not black market, but bootlegs. Yeah, that's it. Bootlegs. So I wanted to do like bootleg versions of stand up and even have like a lot of the same jokes on the albums, like do a bunch of them from the same tour. But, you know, there'd obviously be lots of differences because I fuck around so much.
Yeah. Right.
But, you know, I just for some reason just sort of dropped the ball on that. So I've got one album out there that's just called Lexington and the Date. And it's also
And it's also the last album I put out because it's like from 2017. And then, you know, by the time I was anywhere near getting ready to, you know, really put out another album, we got hit by Pando. And now I'm really, you know, now I'm not even sure about albums anymore at this point.
Yeah, it seems like the short form thing is the way to go, even if you are putting stuff out. Like a lot of people are putting out what they're calling as EPs, but it's still just like 25 to 30 minute sets rather than full hours. And at least in Canada, that's a bigger trend because Canadian content requirements require like Canadians to be played on SiriusXM and stuff. And so that's how people are making some money.
Yeah, those things where you get, you know, they just send you some money just because they played your bits on the satellite radio are pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But that's, I guess, a good reason to keep making albums. But like the one and only TV special that I did, they just go, hey, do you mind if we make this also an album? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. I don't know why anybody would want to just listen when they can also watch it, or they can just decide the one they purchased where they watch, they could just turn the picture off if they wanted to, you know? So they could still get that exciting radio style. But anyway, enough about comedy. We're here to be humorous, but talk about names. And your name rhymes with our last guest, I noticed, when I was writing stuff down for today. We had Joe DeRosa on.
Oh, hey.
Who's great. Joe DeRosa, Mike Carosa. See? Yeah.
There you go.
And now I don't know who we're going to have on next week. Can we think of anybody else that whose name rhymes with Carosa? Mike Carosa?
Huh.
Mike. Mike Mendoza. Wasn't there a Mendoza in comedy? There definitely was, right? John Mendoza. Let's get John Mendoza. I believe he might have passed away, but let's get him. The ghost of John Mendoza. Because I really want to keep this this bit going. Do it.
Tupac, the rhyme going. Tupac hologram style.
Yeah. What was it like? How do you feel? What's your connection? What's your relationship with the name Mike? I assume it's short for Michael.
Yeah. Yeah. My name is Michael. Growing up, it was always Michael. Elementary school, I went to like a very Italian. I grew up in a very Italian neighborhood, so like they kept defaulting to Michael, but I never quite liked it. Always felt like I was getting in trouble when someone would call me Michael. And it doesn't seem as fun as Mike to me. So Mike or Mikey has always been like fun to me. But then I went to high school in French and they pronounce Michael wrong. They even spell it differently. Like
Michel?
Well, so that's what you'd think. You would think it's Michelle, right?
But I'm like, Mikael?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Thanks, got it. Yeah. It's they flip the E and the L and then they pronounce it wrong again somehow. Like they instead of A-E-L for Michael, they go E-A-L, and it still doesn't make sense phonetically. Like they still say it Mikael.
Yeah.
I just got so tired of teachers being like, who's Mikael? And I'm like, that is not at all close, and you know, and they'd hit that first syllable and I'd be like, let me stop you right there. I gotta just go with Mike. It's easier, please. Just don't Michael. And still to this day, I have like a bit of a, I feel a little like tense if somebody calls me Michael and I don't really like that they did, I'll correct them immediately. I'll cause I'll get real tense about it. But there are very few people that I'm like, you know what? Michael's fine. You know, I can let that slide. Very few.
Odd coincidence. I'm going to see my only friend that goes by Mikael tomorrow.
No shit.
How does that guy spell it?
Just how he would say it.
M-I-C-H-E-A-L.
Yeah.
Because then there's like the name, like the first Mikhail I thought of was Baryshnikov, Mikhail Baryshnikov.
Yeah.
But that's just got like K's and Y's and all sorts of shit in there, right?
Right. I went to high school with this other Mikhail who was in the same class. So luckily it made it easier to tell them to not call me that, but it was M-I-K-H-A-I-L.
Yeah. That's the same way Baryshnikov spells it, I think.
It's just very odd to me that they go from Michael to adding an A in front of the, like, it just felt weird to me that they would be like, let me separate these vowels that we made one sound. Yeah, I mean, so it's, Michael has never been my favorite. I think my dad's always loved the name Michael. That's why I'm Michael. But my brother's name is Roberto, and it's very Italian. So I'm Michael Anthony. My brother's Roberto Pasquale. And I just, like, don't get that either.
Roberto Pasquale Carosa?
Yeah, that's my brother's full name.
And he has a, and he runs a pizza parlor.
Naturally, yes, of course.
No, he sleeps with the fishes, as it turns out.
Oh boy, didn't want to bring that up, but yeah, he's got a way
right?
of sleeping.
I mean, have you always like, having such an Italian name, have you ever experienced the pain of people assuming mobster ties and making references nonstop all the time?
Constantly. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's in, sometimes it's in good fun, but other times it comes with an expectation. Like, I remember starting comedy, and because Montreal has a lot of Italian people, the hosts would pronounce it correctly. They'd say it's a carrozza, or, you know, they'd roll the R, they'd go carrozza, right? Like, so it's like they'd say it properly, and I'd get on stage and people would be like, here comes the jokes about nonna. Oh, here comes the spicy Italian stuff. This guy's going to talk about being so hairy. But I'd get up and I'd be like, you guys think swans, you know, wish they could high five instead, or, like, you know, something stupid. And they'd be like, oh, I really wish he would talk about how much he feels for the old country or some shit. So it has put that kind of pressure on me in some ways, where there's an expectation to be Italian. And I am, like, my girlfriend makes fun of me all the time for this, but, like, I can't handle spicy foods. What do you know about Italians? They're hairy. They eat spicy.
That's, you know, a spicy meatball.
Exactly. I can't handle them. I can't do it. You know, my grandfather, before he passed, would sometimes put crushed, like, spicy red pepper in his cereal. I'm not even kidding. The man needed a kick with a cereal. And it drives me nuts that, like, my family's like, okay, it's not spicy, don't worry about it, you could even have it. And I'd have it and I'd be like, I need the milk immediately. This is terrifying. This is awful. My mouth is being attacked. So yeah, it is just very, it was also fitting that my name is Michael. My brother got the super Italian first name, right? But I definitely am, like, I've been pretty much like the ugly duckling of the family, like the black sheep of the family, being like, I'm barely Italian. And they're all like, but what are you talking about? And then we'll, you know, scream at each other. We love each other, but I, you know, our hands are waving around and breaking furniture by accident, just because, you know, I am a hand talker. I am a loud person, but yeah, it's definitely weird. Cause, like, I don't think that I'm much of an Italian guy, but the name definitely brings a lot of expectation. But that's also why I've just decided to tell people, be lazy with my last name. Like, Carosa isn't the proper way to say it. My dad did not like that. I did, like, a taping for ZooFest's channel here during Just for Laughs, and they say my name is Carosa, and my dad watched me. He was like, why didn't you correct them? And I was like, no, I told them to say it like that. You don't get it. It can't go up there with that expectation, because a lot of people definitely have it.
Yeah. All of the comedians that I'm like going through my head thinking of, like, Italian American comedians with names like that, they really come out and lean into that. Like, they really are that sort of character. They rise to that expectation. Everyone that I can think of.
Got to say to them is, aren't you embarrassed? Okay, all right, there we go. A little Sebastian for everybody. Enjoy it. It's yours. Take it with you. Keep it.
Oh, I didn't even think of him, because he does a lot of stuff that's not about, you know, necessarily about his family. But you're right, he does a lot of obvious material about being an Italian American and probably also about the stereotypes and stuff. Yeah, and he gets, you know, he gets cast. He probably, if Sopranos was on right now, he'd get tossed a role on there for sure.
1,000%.
I mean, isn't he in? Like, I think he's in Many Saints of Newark or one of those more recent. Yeah,
he's got to be, right? He has to be.
So. I think he has to be.
Doug, I know you are URDB, but I'm going to take a look at IMDb really quickly to see, because I would be remiss if we did not recognize that immediately, because he has to be in it.
Yeah.
Because he's just
in his natural state. He's like that Ben Stiller character that's always, hey, what's up? What do you want? What are you doing? What?
That really, from Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah, and before that, from the Ben Stiller show, like it was a sketch.
Oh, right.
Where he was like real old Italian with the jewelry and the wigs and stuff. But as
Sebastian's not in the movie. Sebastian's not in the. That's insane to me.
I mean, he will be. So, you know, he's. I feel like I saw him on a talk show promoting that he was acting in something, or maybe he was hosting a cooking show or something. But I mean, that guy,
he's got stuff in the can.
He's not only is he, you know, do the Italian thing, but he's also so physical on stage, which I think would also be associated with an Italian doing comedy.
Yeah,
and you just stand there, right? You just stand there all cherubic.
I don't just stand there, but I don't do what he's doing for sure. Like his presence is like he's trying to scare off a bear. He's taking up so much space on that stage, and he's like he. The energy that he gives, it's very reminiscent of that. You guys remember that YouTube video that went viral of the guy being like, the Wicked Witch of the East, bro. Like that guy was just like throwing his head down and his hands are, you know, clasped together, kind of just pointing. It's a lot more aggressive and like it's just like fast and like assertive, you know. I'm kind of like, I'm trying to be slow and stupid, you know, very different from what I'm trying to do with it, but definitely, yeah, being physical is oddly Italian, I guess. You know, the times that people
talking
tell
with
me
the
that,
hands,
yeah,
Italians the times that people tell me that I'm pick up, they pick up sign language quicker than anybody else because they're already kind of doing it.
Well, one of the first jokes I've ever been exposed to was like at 5 years old, somebody was like, hey, check out this book on sign language, and it was Italian sign language, but it was all the ways that you could like basically flip the bird in Italian language, where you're like, you scrape your fingers across the bottom of your neck up to your chin and flip it off, you know. Hard to describe that, actually. It's wild.
That's a but that's a classic. The ooh, yeah. You know, the
yeah, how cool.
You make a noise with it, you know. Yeah. I'm sure Al Pacino's employed it quite a bit in his life.
Oh yeah.
You know, and There's there's the one where you slap the like inner part of your elbow and then raise your hand up.
Yeah.
Give it to him that way. Like really, it's really aggressive.
It's all
hard
aggressive
to do in a car.
It is wild to me that like fuck you in Italian is vaffanculo, which is shove it up your ass. And it's just like when you recontextualize the sign language of like the multiple ways you could tell somebody to fuck off with like Italian gestures, it is there. You know what? You can picture an ass in there somewhere for sure.
Yeah. They're really jamming fingers and arms and fists into things. Yeah, that's definitely what's going on. It's quite graphic. Very graphic.
Exactly. Yeah. But you never know with Italians.
I was coming to this interview today, this conversation, thinking that, you know, Mike is a, you know, nice kind of normal name, but the Carosa, as I always say it, because I've always thought that's what, you know, like you said, you're not going to correct anybody really.
Well, that's how I prefer you say it. I want people to say it like that. So you're saying it the way I, you know, I'm great with. That's perfect for me.
Well, that's good. Cause I've, you know, had issues in the past with people where I say their name wrong and they just let it go. Cause they're just used to it being said wrong. And I'm a person, you know, I feel guilty just knowing that I said their name wrong a bunch of times. So I want to say it correctly.
And I always call you Doug Benson.
Right. And I don't appreciate it. And, you know, that's where we're at. We're having kind of a rough patch because, but, but you know, I think, you know, Carrozza said that way without laying into the Italianness of it is a cool sounding name. You do expect, you know, somebody like it's not like old style or old school.
Right.
As far as those sort of names go, the double R double Z must be an issue with people must spell it wrong every time.
I've had trouble cashing payments because of that. I remember showing up to pick up a package and being like, here's my ID. They're like, that's not the name I have on here. And I'm like, I promise you, I could show you every email that I know I'm expecting this package. That's the order number right there. That's my address right here. And they're like, it says Mark Carbonza. And I'm like, that can't And I've adopted that as like my pseudonym for when I write about Magic the Gathering online. So shout out to the Magic the Gathering people.
It says here, Mikhail Garbanzo Bean. Yep, that's me.
Yeah. Just put it all in the same place. It truly is baffling to me because it happens a lot in emails or on like Facebook where my name appears several times in the thread. And if you're, you know, I sign off with my name, like, and so they'll miss an R or a Z, and you're like, okay, come on, man, try something. Like when I did a recording for Just for Laughs last summer, and initially they had released it with one R, and I was like, this isn't coming up on my Sound Exchange or anything, like I can't find it anywhere, and they're like, well, you're spelling it wrong, and I was like, no, hold on a second. So yeah, they got that fixed up like in 30 minutes, but it was very much like a, hey everybody, check out this compilation album I'm part of, wait a second, hold on a second, wait, I gotta post this later instead. But yeah, it happens all the time. The name is silly. I've encountered very few people with this last name. I've met people with like one R or one Z, you know, but I've only met one person whose mom's maiden name is Carrozza with the spelled the way I spell it. And, that blew my mind so much. Like we just like derailed the podcast we were both guests on. Like Kyle Ayers had us on for a podcast. It was me and Austin Huff. And we were like, hold on, shut up a second, Kyle. You serious? This never happens. Yeah. It's a very uncommon last name. And it means carriage or like a, you know, stroller of some sort. That's all that means.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow.
Step
into my Carrozza. Uh-huh.
There you go. It's like, what do you think Cinderella gets into at the end of the, after midnight? She gets into a Carrozza, baby. Gets into this guy.
I'm going to take you in my Carrozza over to the piazza. you know, it's typical night in Italy. Mm-hmm. All right.
You just gotta kiss your fingers and do a little chef's kiss. You gotta give it to it.
I didn't mean to be you know, triggering on your issues with spelling your name, because I myself now just am frustrated for you, because you know the red tape and the, you know, all the things we have to fill out and all the times we have to show our ID and all that stuff these days, like it's got to be a little bit of a nightmare. So we're not here to make you feel bad. The whole situation, but let's go back to you mentioned that your brother's middle name is Pasquale.
Yeah.
But I missed what your
middle name is. That's not real.
He's my favorite member of the Chuck E. Cheese band. Is Pasquale. But what's
Pasquale is Patrick in Italian. That's okay. What it is. Yeah,
not carriage.
No, not carriage.
So,
mine is Anthony.
What was your middle name again? Anthony.
Yeah,
Michael Anthony. Athonymi.
Yes. Yeah, Anthony.
Not Anthony.
not Afrony from the Mean Girls. what Tim Meadows is that nephew in that movie? Mm-hmm. But
do people, when they do say it though, when relatives do say it, do they say Anthony like that?
You know, no.
Or do they say Anthony?
It's one of those, like, it comes up so rarely that I have family that doesn't remember what my middle name is. And it's always kind of fun when that happens. Because we like to clown each other on, like, when somebody messes up. Like, if somebody says, your birthday's like April 22nd, right? And they'll be like, everybody shut up for a second. Nobody tell them. We have to clown on them.
Yeah, yeah, really, and they just have attention. To really wonder for a while.
Yeah, yeah. We got to be like, well, no, you're April 22nd because Uncle Frank's March 5th. And if Uncle Frank's March 5th, I remember you're the next month. And we've got like 50 people in the family.
It becomes a big puzzle.
Exactly. Which I do love.
Well, but you're doing great on this puzzle of a show and all of your answers. We fact check everything and all of your answers have turned out to be true. And
we got more.
Yeah. Except for we're going to do some deep research on this Pasquale lie. You Pasquale liar. But we will take a break right now and come back with more questions and fun with Mike Carrozza after this.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
We are back and we're talking to Michael Anthony Carrozza. M-A-C are the initials. Those are good initials. That just spell out Mac.
Yeah, buddy. It's pretty cool. Yeah. I've always been a bit on the chubby side since I was a little kid. And so I'd get called Big Mac, but it never stuck. It started as somebody trying to bully me, but ended up being like a really good nickname. it just worked out, you know. And then, you know, Big Mac, they're tight. People love them. What are you going to do? Fight a Big Mac? Get out of here.
Plus, yeah. Mac and Me is one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah, so much so that Paul Rudd loves a good recurring joke about that, huh?
He will not let that joke drop. And it
can
feels
you believe
like,
he pulled it off on the podcast? I still can't. Yeah.
I can't believe it. And that you know, I just feel like Conan is like, you got to see it coming at this point. But
I think his guard was down for sure on the podcast, like my, you know, just like mine was when I was watching the clip. Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
He did such a long setup too that it was. I think he got entrapped by that. On top of it, it was great.
Yeah, because he wasn't bound by the fact that they were on TV.
Right, could really do a long ass setup for the clip.
Do you even have a friend named Ryan? No. I don't have a friend named. Well, what are you doing? You did that whole setup.
That was good. So that was the next question. Was nicknames? Anything else besides Big Mac in your youth or now as an adult?
Well, you know what? I guess Mikey has come up a lot more recently. So it's like, you know, it isn't necessarily a nickname as it is just like, you know, people use that for Mike or Michael all the time, right? So Mikey comes up a lot. Mikey C is just a clear, you know, cut, clean name. My buddy Walter Ling calls me Mikey Cuckoo Karatza because he's just like, I'm giving you a wrestling kind of intro here today. And people don't get it, but he's been doing it for years and I'm not about to stop him.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. You got to be careful about anyone that calls you kooky.
Yeah, no, cuckoo, baby. Cuckoo. He's like, he's cuckoo. He's like a fucking Cocoa Puffs thing.
Right, but, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Now I get it. Because, you know, kooky is the crazy. Same thing as cuckoo.
Kooky's a little head tilt and he's a little weird. Cuckoo's nuts.
I'll cuckoo is crazy. Okay. Right. He wasn't kooky for Cocoa Puffs. You're right.
Yeah. I think the worst I've gotten is people will, I guess this isn't so much of a nickname as it is like they'll start singing the opening riff of My Sharona. Early on in comedy, they do that. There's this one comic who would do it despite my insistence to please stop, please never do that again. And he would start the opening bars to My Sharona, and then I think eventually he wrote like a whole verse. He was like, ooh, he's a funny guy, a funny guy.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, now that you've got it in my head, I'm dying. I'm
dying. Go ahead, Doug. You get
one. It's just so perfect. It's so perfect that I totally feel your irritation because it's just, you know, people are going to be drawn to doing it once they get it in their head.
And you get one, you go for it. If you really want it, it's yours. Go for it. I'm not going to hold any malice in my heart.
I appreciate it. Maybe I'll, record one. I'll record one in the shower later and we'll add it in, post
nice.
At the end of this episode. It'll be a nice, nice change of pace from our normal closing theme, which is 2.5 seconds long. all of this leads you to putting the name Cherubic on your album cover. Is there a specific reason for that other than just the idea that you're fun and young and round?
People have described me as like a sweet baby angel a lot. Mm-hmm. Like that's, and it has kind of come up in, at least in like when I truly found my voice on stage, I was really like, man, people were right. This is kind of that vibe. And it is working. Like I'm a fun, silly boy and sweet baby angel isn't far off. Right. So I thought, you know, I always liked the idea of a one word title. So I thought maybe let's find the word for it. And so Cherubic is like, boom, like a baby little cherub, you know? And I just thought, you know, what's that? What's a cherub even thinking, you know? So I hope, I don't know. I like it a lot. I hope.
I bet you do probably move a few, more units around Valentine's Day. Cause people are talking about
it more. Look, if I'm moving units at all, it's only in Valentine's Day. All right. My album's only available Valentine's Day from here on out. I'll tell you it's not available anymore. Except
is the cover of the album, is that with you with a white balloon?
Yeah. So it's the picture you got on screen right now is but I put just the word Cherubic on overlaid on top of my face.
Yeah,
like it just like it's big and just across my face. But it is that picture. I remember this was across the street from Comedy Bar in Toronto, and there was like an improv or a sketch show happening before mine. And they left a bunch of white balloons in the green room. And I thought, this is too perfect. And somebody started taking pictures of me. And I was like, we need a better backdrop. And across the street, there was this wood wall for a restaurant that's no longer there that somebody had spray painted love where the O is a heart. And I thought, this is perfect. Let me get a couple of shots here. And then eventually you know, that I started using this all the time. Eventually somebody swapped my head with the balloon and I was like, I wish I'd done that instead. But that's actually the back jacket of the album cover. So it's like, if you check out on Blonde Medicine's website right now, I wanted to have a thank you section on my album because I do miss, like, I used to buy CDs all the time and I miss the back section where you'd find out about other bands and other comics that you like right. didn't know about by just like looking them up from the thank yous. And I remember thinking, I want that. I really want that on anything that I put out. And so I told Blonde Medicine, I'm thinking about these two images, and one of them was my head swapped with a balloon, and then the other was this one. And they were like, we kind of like the not swapped one, but it's up to you. And I was like, I think you're right, but I want to use this one for the back because it's going to be like a fun surprise. We never ended up making any physical copies of them because the pandemic made it difficult. Like, I originally was supposed to come down to California for a run and then take them with me, but shipping vinyl and having it made, oh God, what a nightmare. Canada does not get good shipping rates.
I miss the physical copies of CDs. Yeah. Like, that's another reason why I think that, you know, I sort of dropped off in producing albums is because, you know, whether it's vinyl or CD, whatever it is, just to physically have that album, like you're saying, like the, just the artwork you choose, the thank yous, the, like, you know, if you get somebody to, like, my first album has a nice little note by Patton Oswalt on it that, you know, it's just cool to include that kind of stuff. And, you know, Patton's so great.
It's at writing. It's also very fun to buy from someone.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If we were out on the road more, then you go back to physical copies at shows, I guess. But I like selling even smaller things at shows. Like, now I'm all the way down to pins. I just sell little pins that have my face on them. And those are so easy to carry around.
I think some of my most prized possessions in comedy are things that, like, I saw Maria Bamford do Ask Me About My God. Or ask me about that. Well, that hour. And she was selling the CD and I bought a copy and she signed it. And made herself into a little rabbit, like with teeth and little bunny ears. And I thought that was really fun. That's like a fun thing that you can do with physical copies, but maybe download cards have that fun to it, but it's just different. I miss the physical.
Way back when, I remember Eddie Gosling one time, I don't know if he forgot his merch or what, but he wanted to sell something. So he just went to the grocery store and bought a sack of oranges and then sold oranges after the show.
That's amazing.
You just sign them. Like, I'm doing a show in Miami this weekend, a Doug Loves Movies taping, and I'm bringing Focus Features sent me the Blu-ray of 20 of their classic movies. Ooh. Like Lost in Translation and Milk and Shaun of the Dead. And they've made a lot of great movies over the years, and they sent me 20 of them in a suitcase, and I don't even have a Blu-ray player. So I'm like, you know, this is really cool. So I'm going to give them away as part of the prize bag on Saturday in Miami at Doug Loves Movies at the Improv at 420. And some guy wrote to me on Twitter, are you going to sign them? And I'm like, well, I don't have anything to do with any of these movies. Why would I sign them? And the guy's like, well, I don't have a Blu-ray player. So that's all they're going to be to me is just, you know, a keepsake, something you signed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, maybe I'll sign one of them if you win. I'm not going to go through and sign 20 movies I didn't have anything to do with. Although it is pretty funny. Maybe I'll get me and my guests some Sharpies backstage and we'll all sign every one of them.
What was it?
Just go around signing other people's movies.
Didn't John Hamm just sign whoever album was in the prize bag every now and then?
Oh, yeah. Movies? I would do that. If I had a famous person on Doug Loves Movies, I'd have them just sign random shit and put it in the prize bag. But yeah, it'd be weird for me to sign a copy of Milk.
I got Jeff Goldblum to sign one of my albums.
Oh, that's fun. That's a fun, get an autograph on your album. But now have you turned around, that's a precious keepsake, or is it an album you're selling for a jacked up
price? I just held on to it. I thought it was funny.
Which how one much was think, it?
How much you think you could get for it? Like double the regular asking price just because it says Jeff Goldblum on it?
Yeah, it's complicated because it says Jeff Goldblum and Fart Safari. So I don't know. It could go either way.
I like the idea of Jeff Goldblum asking you now. This one's Fart Safari 2, Fart Harder. I might even assume there's a Fart Safari 1.
Yeah, he should have said this. What was his classic line from the movie? I think this is a bad idea or something. Like that. Yeah. Oh, in the history of bad ideas, this is the worst of all time. Did Jeff Goldblum react to the words Fart Safari, or did you just sign a disc that you shoved into his hand?
No, he was just. It was just at one of those. You know, in L.A., he does that show like in Los Feliz.
Yeah, he'll just perform with his band, the Mildred Schnitzer.
Yeah, it's a fun show. It's every week whenever he's in town. It's a great show, and he'll just hang out until everybody is done talking to him. He's such a sweet guy. And so he just signed that, didn't blink. And I even had him sign it to Grandma's Vagina, which is a random inside joke. And then he didn't say anything. And then there was another show. We saw him again, and he was asking if there was anyone – like as part of the show banter in between songs, if there was anyone that wanted to have their text messages read by Jeff Goldblum. So we threw out, he was like, does anyone have an interesting text thread going on? And so there's a group of us at a table together and we happen to be texting each other about micro penises that day. I don't know why.
Oh God.
And so Jeff Goldblum, like we have it on video. He's just talking about micro penises to an audience, a packed house, and no one thought it was funny, except we're dying laughing. We were the only people. It was, oh my God, it was great. But what a chance. Yeah, he just goes with whatever. He's so funny.
That's my favorite detail of that, is nobody thought it was funny.
No one. They were like, what is happening right now?
These are people who came out to watch the Blues, not to hear Jeff Goldblum go on about micro penises. Come on,
yeah, he's not going to make it funny. He's just going to read it.
he did it pretty dramatically. It's pretty good.
But you know what I mean? That doesn't make it, you know, it's just nonsense words, you know? Like like a real, you didn't give him like a real setup punchline kind of thing to read.
Right.
And people are sitting there going, why isn't he reading our nonsense? You know, like they feel
right,
like,
hey, that's what it is. Yeah.
Listening to this nonsense.
So you heard it here first. Our nonsense. People are just being sore losers when they're not laughing. That's what it
also,
is.
Also, though, he's so talented musically, he should put it to music, is what he should do. He should give it a jazzy, you know, that kind of reading. Because then if it's just silly nonsense, it's still kind of funny that he's, you know,
right,
treating it that way.
It's like beat poetry or something.
Yeah, we gotta get a meeting with Jeff Goldblum and tell him how to fix his cabaret show.
I've got a couple notes.
Let's set him straight on micro penis texts.
We went and saw him, Alicia and I went and saw him, you know, here in LA somewhere, and it was super fun. So then we found out this last New Year's he was going to do it in a club up in San Francisco. We thought, oh, what a perfect way to ring in the New Year's, hanging out, listening to Jeff Goldblum read texts about micro penises. And maybe I'll sign something that says fart on it. And and then they, you know, it was just another one of those deals where for some reason, somebody in his family or something came up COVID-y. And so they, you know, canceled the whole thing. Oh, and so you can't really reschedule a New Year's Eve show. You know, you got, maybe it'll happen next year, but you know, it's not like when they cancel it, everyone's like, you know, thinking about a year later, what, you know, what they're going to do. So, anyway, that's enough about Jeff Goldblum and his, his musical career. A question we ask all of our guests, Mike, is tell us about the Dougs you've known, you know, outside of the present company. Have there been any important or interesting Dougs in your life?
So the first Doug that came to mind was my Spanish teacher in college. Like I did an elective Spanish class and his name was Doug Jones. And I remember signing up for the class and being like, the teacher was like TBA. And then we got in on the first day and we're like, okay, hi, I'm Doug Jones. I'm your Spanish teacher. And I'm like, you are the whitest sounding dude I've ever met in my life. And he even like taught us with a bit of like a super white guy accent while speaking Spanish. And I've never been able to shake him, because like he's just like this young dude being like, I know enough Spanish to teach a 101 level. Let's go. Let's do it. And then he'd speak Spanish. And I'd be like, dude, you got to work on your accent. This is crazy. This is bad. Like, I'm learning Spanish and this is bad.
Well, there's no real, there's no Spanish name for Doug even. So he couldn't even be one of those teachers that would refer to himself with a Spanish name.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd be like, Senor Doug. And I'd be like, dude, you got to dress it up a little bit.
Oh my God. That's what we're calling this episode, is Senior Doug with Mike DeRosa. That's perfect. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, Doug's not such a common name out here. At least, like, I mean, in my experience growing up in Montreal, like, you don't come across a lot of Dougs. That's for sure.
Right. Like, well, that's the thing I was going to say, is you do have a big Doug in politics right now in Canada.
That piece of shit.
with Doug Ford. Mm-hmm. What's he, brother of Rob Ford?
Brother of Rob Ford, and can't stand him. I don't want to say too many things that might be awful to say.
Yeah, truly, I'm like, afraid to bring him up, you know, just because it just seems like, just a divisive figure, because somehow he got elected, but everybody seems to hate him.
Yeah, well, he got elected by mainly rural Ontario being like, well, we could get a buck of beer. And then you're like, okay, great, Buckabeer is here. But did you know that he is squandered billions of money in COVID aid and was saving it to draw down the deficit at re-election and didn't do anything? Like, he's directly responsible for the fact that, like, Toronto has been in such a deep hole with COVID, or had been so early on, and directly responsible for so many things, like schooling getting cut. It was a whole thing. Doug Ford is not a good person. And I remember reading a comic from Toronto posting about Doug Ford and being like, that is a thing that I want to use for everybody I don't like. And that was, he's really going to have, oh no, wait, he used this. So Graham Clark in Vancouver used this about Trump, and then somebody repurposed it about Doug Ford, which is, he's going to need 24/7 security around his grave, because people are going to bring their tap shoes. truly, that's like, when it comes to politicians, in Canada, there's a lot of garbage out here, and I know you guys deal with similar garbage, but
what are you talking about?
we love the president. We don't think he's somehow worse than the last guy. Somehow, maybe.
That'd be fun. That'd be fun for some scumbaggy individual or somebody with a very good sense of humor to have in their will, you know, that they have to be buried with, you know, some sort of, flooring over their grave that you could tap on, because normally it's grass or, you know, cement or something, just provide a tapping space so people can come just and like just tap on your grave.
Really good water resistant wood, just like a solid board.
Yeah. Please come tap. Because if I am stuck under there for eternity, it'd be nice to, probably nice to hear the rhythms of tap dancers. I've always enjoyed it while I was alive. Stomp is coming to LA soon. I might go see it. I wonder if tap dancers are like aggravated by Stomp. Like, that's not, that's not real dancing. That's just stomping. We have more skill.
I like this image of tap dancers that we have right now. They will go honor the dead, only honor it by request if we have a board over their grave. And they hate Stomp. They can't stand it. These are the two facts we know about tap dancers.
I saw that show, Bring In the Noise, Bring In the Funk, when it was playing on Broadway. And the actor Jeffrey Wright played the narrator. And I've, of course, seen him in a million things since then. Mm-hmm. And now I'm forgetting the guy's name, but, like, a very well-known, popular dancer in general, but also tap dancer. It was his show. And he didn't like the show is so sweaty from all the tap dancing, because it's just 2 hours of tap dancing with an intermission. He gets so sweaty and that air conditioning would just be too unpleasant to bear, because you're like wet and cold all the time. So they would just wouldn't have air conditioning in the theater. They just tell the audience, sorry. I went and saw it in August, and it was just like, I don't know who's sweating more, the people on stage or the people in the audience. Oof. But I still loved it. I still loved it. But and now I'm sad that I haven't accessed the dude's name, because he's a very talented dancer who created that show and starred in it, I guess. But that being said, I have one more question for you, Mike, and that's,
yes.
What about Mikes in your life? Are you close to any Michaels or Mikes?
Man, it's wild, because like I
know you used to do a lot of open mics.
That's the only thing I'm close to. I'm married to the game. It's wild, because Mike is such a common name. There's so many Mikes, and I can't think of a single one right now. I can think of like Mike
Birbiglia. Yeah.
Mike Birbiglia, one of my favorite moments. Oh, no. I don't know if this is a mean story to tell, but I love Mike Birbiglia. I remember being at Just for Laughs interning, and Mike was laying in a patch of grass near the artist entrance to Théâtre Saint-Denis, just kind of enjoying alone time and quiet time before one of the galas. And I was walking by and we made eye contact, but I looked at him knowingly like, oh, I know who you are. And he pretended to be asleep. And I was like, respect, dude, don't worry about it. We met later on that week and it was very nice. But like that moment, I was like, I get it. I think I understand, but I'm excited that he's here. Cause like,
he's great. It might have been, that's probably the way he collects his thoughts. I would never just go lay down on the grass before a show, but that might be where he's at with getting ready mentally, you know.
Mike Birbiglia, Bill Burr, Doug Benson, Maria Bamford were all on a sheet of comedians I watched on the Just for Laughs gala stuff or on TV while I was doing homework at night, and being like, I need to look these guys up at some point. And I remember that vividly in that order. It was
wow.
Yeah.
It's weird the stuff you remember, because I can say the lineup of the first like comedy show I went to when I turned 21, like the first stand-up show I saw in person as a 21-year-old, because I went to lots of them before I turned 21, because the improv in Los Angeles, you only had to be 18 to get in. You just couldn't drink. Right. So I would go there a lot when I grew up in San Diego. But anyway, that we'll have time for my story now.
Right. Okay.
We've gotten a lot of Mike Carroza's story and it's been terrific. Thank you, Mike, for being with us. Thanks, and Doug. And putting up with the fact that Doug Mellard's voice is one of the only ones you can hear. You can hear him talking before he starts to speak. You can hear it coming. Like it rumbles a little bit and then starts to happen. And,
sorry, guys. I'm trying all the things.
Ain't happen again.
I think I'm gonna miss it. If you ever recover. But let's do some plugs. Mike Carroza, what have you have to promote?
Well, I think the best thing to do would be to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Mike Carroza, M-I-K-E. Carrozza. I have my album Cherubic. I've also mentioned that I'm on a Just for Laughs compilation called Doula, Midwife, Full Wife. That's available on like wherever you get your albums. If you're in Montreal, April 19th, I'm doing a show at the Diving Bell called Figure It Out. And I'm in tentative stages right now trying to book shows for New York City between May 21st and 28th. Hoping to do a Figure It Out there as well. But other than that, catch me at SF Sketchfest in January, I guess. That's Montreal's just right. Coming back. I'm also at the Comedy Nest one of these weekends this month, opening for Niall Segay. So if you're Montreal heavy, but come see me.
Yeah, and we are going to eventually do San Francisco Sketch Fest was completely scrapped this last January, kind of a last minute deal, similar to the Jeff Goldblum performance I was going to go see. Right. And so they just said, can we just reschedule for next year? And I said, yes. So which show were you going to be on, Mike?
Well, I was going to be on Will You Accept This Rose, Ardent Marine's Bachelor podcast.
Right. I was going to be a guest on that too. And then, also one of my shows though, right?
But am I allowed to say that?
I think so. It's so far away. I just want to refresh my memory. I think it was one of the movie interruption shows.
Yes, it was a Benson movie interruption. Not going to say movie? Which though.
Lost say which Boys. One.
Yeah, because that was seen it. So,
oh, good. Keep that up. Yeah. I think it'll be. It's more fun for people that haven't seen it. I think because you're going to have to sit through it anyway.
I think
you'll make some good jokes. Yeah. So it's the Goonies and the Lost Boys are going to be the two movie interruptions I do, plus the Douglas movies and the Arden's show in SF Sketchfest. I'm doing a really long distance plug here, late January of 2023. Yeah. Exactly. So we're going to try to keep it intact. Do you have any things coming up, Doug Mellard, that are, more of a current nature?
Yeah, I'll be this weekend. Friday, Saturday at the Phoenix Film Festival. We've got three screenings of our movie, The Disappearance of Toby Blackwood. If you're in the Phoenix area, come on out and say hi. You can go to phoenixfilmfestival.com for details to get tickets. And this Sunday, I'll be in Austin, Texas at the Commodore Perry Estate helping raise money for the Other Ones Foundation, a great cause, at a gala hosted by Anthony from Queer Eye. So that's going to be a lot of fun and a good time.
I got a question for you, Doug.
Sure.
Something I say to myself almost every day. But my question for Doug Mellard is what's it like having a film that you made, like you've shown it at a few festivals now, when you're at a festival, do you sit in there? Do you enjoy watching the movie again? Or are you sick of it because you had to see it so much in the edit?
You know what? I was very sick of it, because you do sit there and just watch it and watch it and watch it over the course of months and months. But then seeing it with an audience, is positively vibing to it, kind of makes, I don't know, it makes it all worth it. And it was definitely fun. I don't know about seeing it again and again with an audience, it might go the other way again, but I think it'll be fun with different audiences. Yeah, it was definitely unique and, cool to see it on the screen and out of the editing bay over Zoom with a couple buddies, So it's been fun. I enjoy it. So looking forward to watching it with the people in Phoenix.
Yeah, film shoots, film festivals can be, tricky because you just, you get accepted into a festival and you just don't know what time slots they're going to schedule your movie.
Right.
And if it's going to be like something where people have to take a 20-minute shuttle to go to a weird part of town to see it, or, it's just every festival is different, but it is a fun experience having a movie and just going around showing it to people. So congratulations on that.
Congrats.
And
thanks, man.
Anybody that's in Phoenix, go try to check it out. I'm going to be at the Miami Improv, as I mentioned, this Saturday doing Douglas movies. I'm doing stand-up in New York City on Monday night, April 11th, at Gotham Comedy Club, one of the cooler names for a comedy club, maybe too cool, and with special guests, and that's going to be super fun, and all of my dates and deets are at douglasmovies.com. I can feel my voice getting scratchy just from my, it's like sympathy scratchy. Yeah. Thank you, Mike Rosa.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks, Doug. Thank you, Doug.
As always, Senior Doug.
Got it.